Summing up a very old and bitter controversy in a laconic paragraph, Raphael Patai wrote, quote, "The findings of physical anthropology show that, contrary to popular view, there is no Jewish race. Anthropometric measurements of Jewish groups in many parts of the world indicate that they differ greatly from one another with respect to all the important physical characteristics: stature, weight, skin color, cephalic index, facial index, blood groups, etc." End quote. This indeed is the accepted view today among anthropologists and historians. Moreover, there is general agreement that comparisons of cranial indices, blood types, etc., show a greater similarity between Jews and their Gentile host nation than between Jews living in different countries. Yet paradoxically, the popular belief that Jews, or at least certain types of Jews, can be instantly recognized as such must not be dismissed out of hand, for the simple reason that it has a factual basis in everyday existence. The anthropologist's evidence seems to be at loggerheads with common observation. However, before attempting to tackle the apparent contradiction, it will be useful to look at a few samples of the data on which the anthropologist's denial of a Jewish race is based. To start with, here is a quotation from the excellent series of booklets on The Race Question in Modern Science, published by UNESCO. The author, Professor Juan Comas, draws the following conclusion from the statistical material. Quote, "Thus, despite the view usually held, the Jewish people is racially heterogeneous. Its constant migrations and its relations, voluntary or otherwise, with the widest variety of nations and peoples, have brought about such a degree of crossbreeding that the so-called people of Israel can produce examples of traits typical of every people. For proof, it will suffice to compare the rubicund, sturdy, heavily built Rotterdam Jew with his co-religionist, say, in Salonika, with gleaming eyes in a sickly face and skinny, high-strung physique. Hence, so far as our knowledge goes, we can assert that Jews as a whole display as great a degree of morphological disparity among themselves as could be found between members of two or more different races." End quote. Next, we must glance at some of the physical characteristics which anthropologists use as criteria, and on which Comas's conclusions are based. One of the simplest, and as it turned out most naive, of these criteria was bodily stature. In The Races of Europe, a monumental work published in 1900, William Ripley wrote, quote, "The European Jews are all undersized. Not only this, they are more often absolutely stunted." End quote. He was up to a point right at the time, and he produced ample statistics to prove it. But he was shrewd enough to surmise that this deficiency in height might somehow be influenced by environmental factors. 11 years later, Maurice Fishberg published The Jews, A Study of Race and Environment, the first anthropological survey of its kind in English. It revealed the surprising fact that the children of East European Jewish immigrants to the USA grew to an average height of 167.9 centimeters, compared to the 164.2 centimeters averaged by their parents, a gain of nearly an inch and a half in a single generation. Since then, it has become a commonplace that the descendants of immigrant populations, whether Jews, Italians, or Japanese, are considerably taller than their parents, no doubt owing to their improved diet and other environmental factors. Fishberg then collected statistics comparing the average height of Jews and Gentiles in Poland, Austria, Romania, Hungary, and so on. The result, again, was a surprise. In general, it was found that the stature of the Jews varied with the stature of the non-Jewish population among which they lived. They were relatively tall where the indigenous population is tall, and vice versa. Moreover, within the same nation, and even within the same town, for example, Warsaw, The bodily height of Jews and Gentiles was found to vary according to the degree of prosperity of the district. All this does not mean that heredity has no influence on height, but it is overlaid and modified by environmental influences and is unfit as a criterion of race. We may now turn to cranial measurements, which were once the great fashion among anthropologists, but are now considered rather outdated. Here we meet again with the same type of conclusion derived from the data. Quote, "A comparison of the cephalic indices of Jewish and non-Jewish populations in various countries reveals a marked similarity between the Jewish and non-Jewish indices in many countries, while showing very wide variations when the cephalic indices of Jewish populations inhabiting different countries are compared. Thus, one is driven to the conclusion that this feature, its plasticity notwithstanding, points to a racial diversity of the Jews." End quote. This diversity, it should be noted, is most pronounced between Sephardi and Ashkenazi Jews. By and large, the Sephardim are dolichocephalic, or long-headed, the Ashkenazim, brachycephalic, or broad-headed. Kuchera saw in this difference a further proof of the separate racial origin of Khazar Ashkenazi and Semitic Sephardi Jews. But we have just seen that the indices of short or long-headedness are covariant with the host nations, which to some extent invalidates the argument. The statistics relating to other physical features also speak against racial unity. Generally, Jews are dark-haired and dark-eyed. But how general is generally, when, according to Comas, 49% of Polish Jews were light-haired, and 54% of Jewish schoolchildren in Austria had blue eyes? It is true that Virchow found only 32% of blonde Jewish schoolchildren in Germany, whereas the proportion of blonde Gentiles was larger. But that merely shows that the covariance is not absolute, as one would expect. The hardest evidence to date comes from classification by blood groups. A great amount of work has recently been done in this field, but it will be sufficient to quote a single example with a particularly sensitive indicator. In Patai's words, quote, "With regard to blood type, Jewish groups show considerable differences among themselves and marked similarities to the Gentile environment. The Hertzfeld Biochemical Index, A plus AB over B plus AB, can be used most conveniently to express this. A few typical examples are German Jews 2.74, German Gentiles 2.63, Romanian Jews 1.54, Romanian Gentiles 1.55, Polish Jews 1.94, Polish Gentiles 1.55, Moroccan Jews 1.63, Moroccan Gentiles 1.63, Iraqi Jews 1.22, Iraqi Gentiles 1.37, Turkestan Jews 0.97, Turkestan Gentiles 0.99. End quote. One might sum up this situation in two mathematical formulae. 1. G sub A minus J sub A is less than J sub A minus J sub B. And 2. G sub A minus G sub B is approximately equal to J sub A minus J sub B. That is to say that, broadly speaking, the difference in respect of anthropological criteria between Gentiles, G sub A, and Jews, J sub A, in a given country, A, is smaller than the difference between Jews in different countries, A and B. And the difference between Gentiles in countries A and B is similar to the difference between Jews in A and B. It seems appropriate to wind up this section with another quotation from Harry Shapiro's contribution to the UNESCO series, The Jewish People, A Biological History. Quote, "The wide range of variation between Jewish populations in their physical characteristics and the diversity of their gene frequencies of their blood groups render any unified racial classification for them a contradiction in terms. For although modern racial theory admits some degree of polymorphism or variation within a racial group, it does not permit distinctly different groups, measured by its own criteria of race, to be identified as one. To do so would make the biological purposes of racial classification futile, and the whole procedure arbitrary and meaningless. Unfortunately, this subject is rarely wholly divorced from non-biological considerations, and despite the evidence, efforts continue to be made to somehow segregate the Jews as a distinct racial entity. End quote.